Maybe 3 minutes, I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? Q-tips, I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down if they're using Q-tips for Lord knows what and just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive. Out the window. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
I saw one. I don't see them here anymore. I don't know that we deserve credit. But I don't see them here anymore. The message got out. Cut it out. But I was in Delaware for the weekend, as I mentioned yesterday, at a lacrosse tournament. And I guess this is more just the law of averages, because I'm pretty sure like 70% of the world's population was at this tournament. And so naturally, you would see at least one Q-tip on the parking lot. And I texted a picture. I took a picture of it and texted it to Bulldog. Like, look, it's not just where we work. Here's a Q-tip on the ground. Just thrown out the wind, dropped out the window, whatever. Nobody cares about anything. So there's a Q-tip, and he enjoyed that. I would have tweeted it, but I'm just less and less interested in that over the years. Like, it was right next to my car, next to a tire on my car. And if I tweet the picture of the Q-tip, I might get, oh, you need new tires, which I think I do. I tweeted a picture some months ago of like my front view at home. Like, oh, you need to trim the hedges, or you need to, like, why bother? World Cup semifinals from Dallas, France and Spain. I have a financial interest in France. I think if I didn't, I would probably still be for France. I've been kind of a France guy in my life. But I'm telling you now, I reserve the right to react if there is a goal. If there is a goal in this game. But we are on this show. This host is officially on France. What about Sneaky Joe? He loves the World Cup. Sneaky Joe with me now to embark on some reverse AFC power rankings. Joe, what are your rooting interests in the rest of this tournament?
I mean, it's weird that we don't root for France as easily. We got the Statue of Liberty and the Revolutionary War. What else do you need to like France in this country?
That should be easier.
I find myself rooting for Messi and Argentina to go back-to-back. I never really would say I've been like a Messi guy. I mean, I like watching him and respect how good he's been forever, but something about just how amazing, breathtaking he's been at this tournament – I'm falling for them. It could be the jerseys too, because I do like their jerseys.
Oh yeah. I mean, other than Argentina, I would say France maybe best kits, best anthem.
Yeah,
there's a lot to like there, but yeah, you're right. We're not so keen on the French as a society for whatever reason. Easy to make fun of. I don't know. But you know,
yeah, I don't know why we've always seemed to be on the same side as them.
Yeah, right. I'm in this pool, Joe. I got to find out how many people are on Spain, because it's a survivor pool and I'm still alive in it, and you can only use a team once. So let's see. I'll find out right now. There are 93 left. Well, there's actually 143 left, but 50 of those 143 are drawing dead, because you need today and then you need the final, and you have to be able to get, you know, through today, and they'll still have a team left on the other side.
Right.
23 are on Spain, 43 are on France. I'm on France. I picked them. But I need England too to have a chance.
You know or have an idea of how many, if you get through this game, would be on England too? Like, what could it be down to for the final, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I started to try to figure that out, but I gave up because it's not going to mean anything to me. Just sort of, it's a little bit more than I was willing to do. But I think the numbers could be similar tomorrow. England is favored tomorrow, which, not quite to the extent that France is. Neither is a massive favorite, But I think that's interesting that England is favored against Argentina. But
that could be. I mean, Argentina's kind of struggled in every game, right? Like, I mean, they've gone to extra time twice. They probably should have lost to Egypt. And that's probably all of it, isn't it? Like, they haven't really looked incredibly impressive maybe in any of their games. I mean, just by the score. I mean, a few of those games, they, what, would have the ball for 80% of the time. So in that way, I guess, impressive. But
not Saturday.
You know, they've had to go to the wire.
Not Saturday. Like, Switzerland was on them.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Saturday at the time of the red card. So, yeah, I think that that's probably it. They have the refs.
They have that.
If you are
so. They're the match fixing team this tournament.
Yeah. And, you know, just like when we sit down for a Bills playoff week and we get the tweet from Warren Sharp about who the refs are going to be and what their record is, you know, home teams when whoever is the ref of, you know, Hockley is the ref of this game. And like, if I'm that ref and I know those stats exist, I'm so focused on turning that the other way. Like, I would never, even, it's probably almost always, if not always, just a coincidence, but I would not want anybody thinking, like, branding me with, I'm a home team guy, I'm a holding guy, whatever. Like, so I don't know if FIFA would be so inclined, but the last thing I would want is to have this game tomorrow look like Argentina was favored, you know, by the officials after all that's happened. Well, I'm just sort of wishful thinking there from me. All right. Well, vive la France. We'll see what happens today. No score yet. 8th minute. All right, Joe. So you're up for the challenge of ranking these AFC football teams in reverse?
Yeah, I'm in. I was looking at the odds before, after you sent me the text earlier about today, and I have not to this point, after however many hours that's been, decided who I think the best team is.
Okay.
But I have a pretty good, the good news is we go in the other order, so I don't have to worry about that as much.
It lands on you who the number one team is sometimes. All right, here we go. Reverse AFC power rankings. Why not on a Tuesday afternoon, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. Oh, what a moment. 16, Joe, who for you is the worst team in the conference?
I think it is the Miami Dolphins. The roster is thin. The quarterback is fine. Maybe he's thrown 80 passes in the league. I guess he could be fine. But I think they probably want to be at the bottom as much as anybody, in addition to the roster looking pretty barren. I saw a stat on the amount of dead cap they have this year. It's like something like 100. I think they have more dead cap this year than they have cap spent on players on the roster. So Miami for me.
Miami has been in this slot for some weeks running. We haven't been doing this every week. Can you make a more optimistic argument for them than you just did? I mean, can you? Willis is maybe good.
Maybe.
And I mean, the skill position stuff, wide receiver-wise, they're probably at the bottom of the league. But they do have Achan, and you never know from defense. I'm not trying to fight back on this. I think I'll go Miami too. But it kind of seems almost unanimous lately with the Dolphins.
You know what they could be? They could be that season where the Jets were supposed to be, like, winless, and Todd Bowles had them winning 5 games and was being talked about like he was a savior. Was that like 5-7 years ago now? There was a Jet season like that where they were supposed to be the worst team that's ever existed, and then they won 5 games. It's like, oh, they're actually more competitive than we thought. Like, maybe that's Miami. They get some luck and the defense is middle of the pack and they go 4-13 or whatever.
I mean, great plan, right?
Right.
Go pick 8th.
Yeah,
maybe a while ago. I mean, I think of Ryan Fitzpatrick being the quarterback the last time the Jets were any good. And they missed the playoffs losing here in the final game, meaning that they still have not made it since, I mean, it's longer than the Sabres drought, 2010.
Yeah. It was a weirdly exciting game, even though, you know, there was nothing on the line
that Jet game?
For our side.
Very windy, right?
Very windy. There's a McKelvin pick at halftime, I think.
I was at IKEA.
Okay.
I didn't pay the closest attention. Glad the season was ending. All right, 15. I want to say Tennessee. Tennessee has gotten a little bit more credit in these rankings than I think they're really due. I don't love the coaches. I mean, the quarterback was kind of all over the place. What did they added Carnell Tate. Okay. I mean, 3-14.
Yeah. I mean, Ty J. Spears did guarantee that they have a winning record this season. I don't know if does that change your mind at all?
You know, I didn't know that, but no.
I mean, I like the weapons enough. It's Tate, Ridley, and Wandell Robinson. They paid him too, right?
Oh, yeah. What's that, though?
Yeah, it's going to be 90 catches for 700 yards. I like the Dable hire for Cam Ward. I guess this comes down to whether you're a Cam Ward guy or not, and I'm guessing by the sound of your voice you are not a Cam Ward guy.
Not really. Or even, I've cooled on Dable, too. I don't know. I think he's a little bit out of control. All right, who do you want?
I would not be on Tennessee here. I would be on Cleveland here.
Okay.
I think I'm more on Cleveland here.
Cleveland, 15. 14. My pick is in.
Yeah, you have to be. That's the rules, right?
Those are the rules, yep.
It would either be them or the Raiders for me here. And I'll say Titans.
Okay. Tennessee moves up in the reverse AFC power rankings from last time out. Two spots. 13. You're Vegas?
Yeah, I'm Raiders.
Kind of want to be Pittsburgh here.
Ooh.
I will go Vegas. 12. I'm fine with Pittsburgh at 12. I don't like anything about it. I don't like anything about it.
Yeah, no. I mean,
they find ways to get to the middle, but that doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, Tomlin's gone now, so does that pixie dust wear off?
I kind of hope so.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't really. There's nothing. I'm looking at what they've done this offseason. There's nothing that really stands out as impressive to me. Like, is Michael Pittman can even make it through a season anymore? He's got back problems. Like, if your biggest move is you acquired a receiver with back problems this offseason, I don't know.
I've waited my whole life for a terrible Pittsburgh Steelers team. Let's go. I mean, there's never been one. There's never been one in my entire life. There's never been a Steelers team that was really bad.
There's no Cordell Stewart team in there that, like, won four games or something?
No. No, they never win four games. They always win at least eight. Like, there's...
Yeah.
When I was born, the Steelers were famous for being so bad. But that's then they have the 74 draft, and it's a bunch of Hall of Famers. 5-11 in 1988. The Bills beat them that season. 6-10 in 1999. 6-10 another time. Like, that's as bad as it ever gets. So,
yeah, and it's a one-off, right? Like, they're back immediately after that, usually.
Right,
yeah.
All right, Pittsburgh at 12, 11.
This is a good little run here for the Jets, but doesn't it have to be the Jets next?
Yes.
I was going to say the Jets next. I was worried we forgot them.
Yes.
I didn't forget them. I think they're a fantasy gold mine this year. They are a horrible defense, but they have, I think, a pass game, right? Don't they? Like, isn't Geno Smith going to throw for 4,500 yards this season?
I am totally in. I'm always in on them, but yes. Garrett Wilson, yes. The tight end rookie, Sadiq, yes. Omar Cooper, we'll talk about this on ADP Chasing tonight, or at least we have. Like, here's a first-round pick wide receiver that goes in the 16th round of fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
The quarterback has thrown for yards in his career. Maybe the line's better. And then Breece Hall. So.
Right.
I'm in on the Jets as well. And it's all pretty cheap. Breece Hall, third round. Wilson, fourth round, I think. Like,
yeah, I like Mitchell. I mean, Mitchell's going to be always the fancy stats guy. Like, he is the success versus man route percentage, you know, like any number on, like, how good are you at getting open. I feel like I always see Mitchell ranking pretty highly.
Yeah. Speaking of tonight's show, Davis Maddock loves Mitchell. but will not be on tonight. So somebody, maybe Joe, can just sort of get in the chat and make this case. 10.
Yep.
Colts.
If it's not the Colts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Colts. Yeah, it's the Colts.
I think it is. Tear break. 9.
I will be on Houston here.
Interesting. Yeah, this is tough. That's why it had to be in Indianapolis at 10.
I just think all their problems are going to be the same. Like, they're not going to be able to block. Stroud's probably not going to do well with that. And did they really do much else on off? I mean, everyone knows the defense is amazing. It's just, I don't know if that offense is going to be able to keep up.
Give me New England.
Wow. Team makes the Super Bowl, adds A.J. Brown. 9.
I don't know what my problem is with New England. For many years, it was everybody else's problem. Now it's my problem. Just not. I just can't give you my vote.
I'll go Houston here.
Okay. 8.
Okay. I don't know that I'm going to be with you on New England for a minute here.
A.J. Brown plays 6 games.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Over. Is there room on that board over there? We need to find an eraser.
How dare you? Is there room? There's an eraser sitting right there. How dare you?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We tried.
What do you mean you tried?
We need one of those spray erasers for that thing.
Well, you have the spray, too. You're telling me if I went over there and sprayed and erased, it wouldn't erase? I just did this like a week ago.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. I think we need a brand new whiteboard.
You guys have bets up for who will the Bills play in their home opener in the new stadium. That's 3 years ago. Will Caleb Williams be benched last year? That's dead. Will Sean McDermott have a bottom 10 deep? Well, I mean, you guys... this is your problem.
That one's still alive.
It is? Yeah. In case he coaches somewhere else?
Yeah, he's going to coach the Jets next year, and then if he's bottom 10, I get paid.
I dragged the Tannehill bet into the 2020s, so
fair enough. No, yeah, you're right. There needs to be a cleanup on that thing.
8.
Before the season starts.
8. I'm New England.
I'll go Chargers. Denver.
Oof. Chargers and Denver. Okay. Denver.
Denver. Enough with Sean Payton. I mean, they're not that different to me than New England last year. Like, I don't know that they're just going to repeat what they did again. And if Kansas City's better, then I think that'll only be harder for them. I think the division is really strong.
All right, I'll move in here.
Really, for me, it comes down to the quarterback. Like, he's one of the least efficient quarterbacks ever that's throwing the ball as much as he did in that season he just had.
You know, you're the guest today, and I will defer to you. I don't really want to. I feel like Denver could be number 1, but for the time being, we'll put them at number 8. It is interesting, though. I'll talk about it a lot today unless something big happens. Just like sort of how to file the top of the AFC, or in our case, I guess the bottom. 7. Mm-hmm. L.A., New England. Pick one.
I will pick Chargers. I mean, how many years in a row can I believe in them and get let down? Chargers.
Obviously, you do watch the games. You did see that playoff game between these two teams.
Yeah. No, I did. I mean, but I love McDaniel being there, but not enough to pick them over New England here.
Okay. 6. Patriots, Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Jaguars, Broncos, Chiefs. Look at the Chiefs.
I'd be on the Chiefs here.
Last time they were 9. Chiefs at 6, fine. 5. I'm still New England.
I'm out with New England here.
What can I say? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good. I'm good with New England here.
4. Baltimore, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Cincinnati.
I have a bet on Jacksonville, And there's really nothing I feel like I've seen that is that bad by them this offseason. But whenever I see one of these sites do either offseason grades or whatever, like, they're always, like, at the bottom. Is that just because blocking tight end in the second round?
It was the draft value. Yeah, they got hammered for a week afterwards. The draft the value of it was disastrous.
Can Travis Hunter please be allowed to play offense?
Please,
I know.
All right, Jags at four. Is that the call?
We're getting to the end of their time. Yeah, like actual football is starting.
I'll go Jags.
Knocked out. We have a penalty coming for Spain, by the way.
Yeah.
Knocked out of the first spot for the first time in maybe a couple months at least, Jacksonville. Bulldog not here to rally the troops on Jacksonville. What happened on this play? Were you watching?
It was like edge of the box, and I think it was just like a kick. The French defender went for the ball, missed, kicked him maybe in the bottom of the leg. It didn't look that harsh, but it was in the box. So
now it's in the net. Not what you want against Spain.
No.
Even if you're France, this team gave up only its first goal of the tournament in the last game, right?
Yep.
They do not get scored on. So now it's interesting. I mean, it already was. Spain 1, France 0, 23rd minute. All right, final three. Who do you have here at three? Bills, Ravens, Bengals. What a moment for Cincinnati. Oh, my God. I mean, 6-11.
Give me the Bills.
I'll go Cincinnati here.
Wow. I'm still wowing it that France is down. Cincinnati has to be. I can't not pick the Bengals here. Two, Joe's on the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore. Another team with a losing record last season.
I'm good with Baltimore here.
Bills won.
Bills won.
Look at you, Joe. Look what you did.
I got the Bills. I came to the show and I got the Bills up to number one, even though I did not vote for them down the stretch.
Look what you did.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, anything you want to...
Bulletin board material by picking them third. It got them up to number one.
Yes. Anything you want to promote? What are you working on these days? As a guest of our show, we want to be sure to ask you that.
You should tune into World Cup of Joe every day on the show, which is fun, and we've only got a couple more days of that on the morning show. Just spitting out facts on all these countries, and then they have to guess which country it's about.
Oh, I love that idea.
That's been fun. Locked on Sabres, you know, we're hitting the dry season, but we'll probably talk Connor Hellebuck again a couple of times this week.
Sure. Why not?
Otherwise. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing right now. So
we're both sort of sounding like, you know, whatever you can get for content. But I think we both think it's very possible that they really do.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, the Winnipeg reporter, McIntyre, the other day saying it's 95% chance he's traded. And I'm waiting for the other team that makes sense. Like, someone give me another team that's going to go pay that price. Most teams have made their goalie moves.
You mentioned San Jose yesterday, I know, but. Right.
Yeah, San Jose, the Devils haven't, but like that's kind of it. Like they're like Edmonton made their move, Toronto made their move. Like most of these teams have already made their move in net.
Joe, thanks for working double today.
Yeah, of course.
Sneaky Joe, reverse AFC power rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. I'll put Sal to the test next, ranking the top of the AFC and more with Sal Capaccio after a break. Cody Tapp will join me at 4 from Kansas City. He's Alex Gold's co-host. He might like that phrase the other way around, but we have Alex on a lot, and we have Cody today, and then we'll figure out the rest. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away from my wife with that.
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
The Bills at number one. It is list season, right? The Bills at number one in the reverse AFC power rankings. Just before. When there isn't any news, make some. How about that? Sal Capaccio with me now on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope. And Sal, I'm told, has a question for me. Let's put it that way.
I do. And it relates to what you're talking about. It's incredible that you're talking about this today. And you said before the break, you're going to ask me about, is it the Bills, top of the AFC? Matt Bovey and I just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. I'm not kidding. I just uploaded it within the half hour. And we had Jeremy Kahn on from Baltimore, who you've had on, and this was the topic. Are the Bills and the Ravens the best two teams in the AFC?
Amazing.
And we kind of went through all of this a little bit, and I said, look, he does a gambling podcast, Jeremy, as you know. Like, you know, they are the two favorites. Is that justified? And he said, yes, he thinks so. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having the Bills number one. I don't think there's anything wrong with having them two or three. I think after that, it gets a little dicey. They should be near the top, if not at the top. I don't think it's any... you know, anything that's controversial. The AFC is very, very, I think, wide open with a select number of teams, you know, and it's really the teams that have the best quarterbacks, and that's the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, I think, of course, the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes, you know, is able to play. Beyond that, there's some question marks, right? C.J. Stroud, we know that their roster is very good. I agree with you. Denver is very, very good, but what about the quarterback? I think that's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, can the Patriots, you know, get back to what they were? Anyway, we're going through this, Mike, and I asked Jeremy about Derrick Henry, and then I went and looked, and here's my question for you. This is amazing to me. Derrick Henry is the active leader in rushing attempts. He has 2,662. Who's number two, and about how many do you think? He has over 2,600, and he's number one of active rushing leaders.
Oh, boy. This won't be easy for me. Thinking about, like, there's somebody maybe just hanging on. Is it somebody that, like, where does this player get better than that?
Yeah, better than that, I would say, because the hangers on are 4 and 5, Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara.
How about James Conner?
No, he's down in the 1300 area. He's number 11.
Who else am I never drafting? Whoever this is somebody I'm never drafting. Kareem Hunt, is he still active?
Yes, he is. He's tied. He's literally tied with James Conner. I'm not kidding you.
Is that right?
93.
I'm really honed in on 11th place.
You are.
On this list.
There are two really good running backs, you know, near the top of the list that you know of.
McCaffrey, Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is number two. Okay. Josh Jacobs is number two in active rushing attempts. What's amazing is Henry has 2,662. Number two has 1,840.
Wow.
800 less.
I had from our conversation yesterday, I had the page open with the rushing touchdown leaders all time, and Henry is fourth, and he's, I think, one away from third, Marcus Allen. So he'll, barring some big injury, he'll easily get into the top three this year. Okay. Yeah, Jacobs, I just never... I mean, I don't know what my problem is. Somebody tells me that X running back is inefficient, and that's always been Jacobs. You know, he had one big year for the Raiders, but, you know, efficiency-wise, now we had this with Henry. We have this with McCaffrey now. We have this with a lot of the players we like. And, you know, you guys don't realize that actually they were not that efficient, just volume. Well, volume is king in fantasy, and really, I mean, it's not that nothing else matters, but... I need to be more focused on that.
Number three on this list is Saquon Barkley. And, I mean, he obviously had a monster year 2 years ago, over 2,000 yards. But, Mike, like, I'm looking at his page. Outside of that year, he sandwiched. So, 24, he has 2,005 yards. Mm-hmm. But in 23 and 25, 3.9 and 4.1 yards per attempt.
Right. Yeah, and he missed a year, didn't he? I mean, he's missed time with the Giants, where he could be higher on this list. But, you know, that's also part of the equation when it comes to running backs. Well, Barkley, again, like, not to make it about fantasy, but Barkley is mid-second round. So is Chase Brown. So is Omarion Hampton. So sometimes is Achan. So sometimes is Jenty. So is Kenneth Walker. Cook is higher. I mean, Jenty and Cook are close. But Walker, Hampton, Brown, and Barkley are kind of together. And Barkley is last for me on that list, simply because of the mileage. So, well, who would be, if you did your own and you're just off of doing this, maybe. This has happened a bunch of times, by the way. Often, Sal will come on and be like, we just talked about this on my podcast. So that's funny. And, you know, probably flatters each of us because, you know, you're thinking a certain way. Who would be number one for you in the AFC? Because I think Denver is really interesting for what's already been said here. Because, you know, listen to Mina Kimes, right? Like, everybody loves Denver's team. Is Nix Allen or even May or Mahomes or Jackson or Burrow? Like, no. But maybe what was last year then for Denver? Like, he was good enough to get the one seed.
I think Denver has the best roster outside of quarterback in the AFC. But the quarterback's a big deal. It's the most important position. And there are questions about how, you know, he needs to carry that team at times. And he's had some great moments, but he's also had some moments where you're like, yeah, but, you know, that's not really the kind of guy that you can lean on when things go tough. So I'd be tempted to put Denver number one. I mean, they went 14-3 last year, right? I mean, they and New England, right, had very, very good seasons, and they were a really good coach. They have an excellent roster. I'd be tempted to put them number one. I would have a hard time putting the Bills, I think, anywhere below two, but maybe three, I guess two or three, because you could make an argument for Baltimore. It would really depend on what you think about, you know, Lamar staying healthy, because he's an excellent football player. He's just got to stay healthy, and he's missed some time here and there, games here, games there. Now, Jeremy Kahn, who you've had on and we just had on the podcast today, he really, really raved about, like, the coaching changes. He wanted Harbaugh gone, and he believes that Jesse Minter is a guy that's going to do really well with this roster. And he pointed to I can't remember how you say his name, the player they traded last year from Baltimore to the Rams. And, like, he went from doing kind of nothing with the Ravens to becoming a guy who got to the passer. Like, okay, this guy can unlock what you need to unlock on defense. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have a Ben Johnson-type offense with Lamar Jackson running it. So it just looks like the parts are there for him, you know, and I can respect that. So I think Bills and Ravens and Broncos kind of put him in the Yahtzee Cup and roll the dice.
Okay. What about the Chargers? What's the AFC West? What would your predicted order of finish be in the AFC West?
I'd have to know about Mahomes' injury. I mean, are we really thinking he's going to be healthy from day one, from week one?
I am, but I don't know.
Okay. I think then I would probably put them number two behind Denver. I like Denver better because I just don't know if Kansas City has quite the horsepower now. I mean, Kenneth Walker's a really nice ad for them, right? I really like that a lot. But man, the receivers, there are some questions. They have lost some stuff on defense. And, you know, I mean, even if Mahomes is quote unquote healthy, you wonder about that. And then I think the Chargers are just this team. I was thinking about this today when you and Joe were going through the exercise and I was listening and Joe's like, when am I going to stop believing in the Chargers? That's kind of all of us, right? And it just feels to me like, I know this isn't actually the right way to put it. Almost like the Chargers are just happy to be there, right? Yeah, we're in the conversation. We should be good. Yeah, we're not really that good. Or we're not as good as everybody thought. And it just fizzles all the time. And I guess I'm just going to start thinking that that's the case until they prove me otherwise.
Yeah, that's probably been sort of the opposite of my running back fantasy point. I'll be ready to lose whenever it is that I lose, but I'm going to stay here until I get beat. And that's sort of betting against LA or, you know, in the opposite of what I do in fantasy is bet against old running backs. And, you know, sometimes it's actually correct.
I do like Cincinnati and I do like Houston for, like, a lot of what they bring to the table, but each of them have their own question. And Cincinnati's just defense, right? If they're going to win a lot of high scoring games, but they did improve. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is going to help them. You know, the quarterback health is a big deal.
My prediction is not exactly to that question, that we're going to have the same conversations and frustrations this year in terms of the Bills and the one seed. Because the AFC North, whether Baltimore or Cincinnati, whoever's better, they're both schedule-wise very well-positioned to roll. And that's if Pittsburgh and Cleveland are down, especially, you know, if Pittsburgh is down, because that's four of their games, of course, those two teams for each, you know, example. But they have the AFC South and they have the NFC South, and that's the jackpot. And the Bills playing the schedule they play, I mean, they'll do well. We've talked about this. They'll do well to get out of the first 5 weeks 3-2.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
And It feels like every year is the same, whether it's Kansas City or Denver or New England or Baltimore the one year where they dominated the conference. We just can't seem to be able to reach out and touch the one seed. And if the Steelers are good, and if, like, say, Jacksonville is good and maybe Atlanta or Tampa is good, you know, then that will change this equation. But otherwise, I think, especially if one or the other of Baltimore and Cincinnati isn't that good. Cincinnati is favored in the preseason lines in 15 games. The Bengals, 15 out of 17 games. Right now, you can bet them all. They're favored in 15 games. Like, they were 6-11. So it might be another one of these years where, like Denver last year and New England with their schedule, just make it very tough for the Bills to come out on top.
Yeah, it's actually one thing that when we were looking at the Ravens schedule, I pulled it up when Jeremy was on the air, and I'm like, oh, let me just kind of go over the schedule with them. And then I'm looking and going, wait a minute, like, they're kind of, like, they don't really have these tests until the middle of the year. And they start off Colts, Saints, Cowboys, who, you know, might are respectable, I think, but Titans, Falcons, Browns. And then it goes Bengals, Bills, Jags, Chargers, right? That's the meat of their schedule of, you know, okay. And I think that that's where we landed. Even Jeremy said it. Like, yeah, I think by then, like, they have a good chance to get off to a good start. And then by then, you're kind of going to start to feel, you know, who they are, basically. But their middle's a little tougher, but you're right, Mike. Like, there's opportunity there for these teams in the AFC Central.
This time of year, we're writing our articles and making sort of the broader predictions. And some such article might be, maybe this has already been done, it probably has, Bill Barnwell, I think of, for this kind of thing. Like, what is every team's big question? You know, like, what is it about the Bills that would be the big thing that's going to tip the scales one way or another? Do you have an answer ready for that?
For the Bills?
Yes.
I think it's the change, the coaching changes, and that includes the head coach as a head coach, even though we know the offense shouldn't change much. But I think the defense, like, do they have the big question is, and we can pick apart a position. We could talk about receiver, we could talk about, you know, third corner, whatever, linebacker. I think the big looming question for me is, does Jim Leonard have the parts and the pieces he needs to do what he wants to do on defense? Or are they just kind of, let's just hope it all works out and Josh Allen can outscore everybody?
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's right. I just am always kind of reticent to pointing to defense. If you're writing one of these columns, you can't just never mention defense. So, yes, there will be some teams where you would need to do that. I have a tough time with this with them, Sal, because I think, and I don't mean this as a cop-out, we can come up with all kinds of different things to talk about here, but I think that probably, like it's been for a few years running, it's a good enough team to get to that spot in the postseason, and then what happens when they're in that spot. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough to, so to speak, game plan for out here. It's really tough on Brandon Bean, you know? Like, what exactly do they need to be different at that, you know, hasn't been what they needed before? And we talk about pass rush for this in the playoffs, and they couldn't get Bo Nix to the ground. We talk about receivers all the time for this. You know, you can only do so much. Not that I'm here to compliment Bean on his, you know, master plan at receiver, but it's really a micro point, I think, that this time you got to hope that if they're good enough to make it to the second round again or farther, like they've done every year for years running, that's still amazing to say, by the way, but it's true. Can they make the play and win the game when it comes down to that? They did that in Jacksonville, to their credit. I mean, that's the Bills' first road win since 1992.
Yeah,
so at least they did that, but they put themselves in a spot by having to go on the road in the first round in that case.
No, that's right. I you know me, I've said this a few times, I'm going to continue to believe this. I think you're going to get more big plays and give up more big plays on defense. It's going to be a more of a risk-reward type of defense, but I also think they're going to intentionally live life like that on offense. And you're going to see spikes in numbers, I think, from Josh Allen. I think passing touchdown, probably touchdowns, maybe interceptions, like things that you like and things you don't like, and they're going to go up because I think they're going to want to be more aggressive because the head coach wants to be more aggressive and because they might feel they have to be more aggressive because they're playing a tougher schedule and they can't just say to everybody, we're just going to make you drive 10 minutes every time you get the ball and make a mistake. And they're going to give up a few, you know, big plays here and there.
Right. Well, you watch the All-Star game.
Yeah, I will when we get home tonight. We have playoff baseball tonight.
Oh, you already had an All-Star game then. You already had
did
a
you, did, what's you, the did you game? See the controversy of the Home Run Derby last night?
No. I sat down to watch it. It's Netflix, of course, right?
Yes.
So you got to pay your $20 a month to watch the Home Run Derby now. I sat down. Sal, you know, you don't have to respect this. I find the Home Run Derby really boring.
Yeah, it used to be more fun than it is for me now, too. But apparently what happened was, and I did see this, A, conspiracy theory, A, Netflix actually put on the screen before the semifinals, Jordan Walker, and underneath his name put 2026 Home Run Derby champion. That did happen, right? And then he won it. Number two, they have these balls they were using at the very end. And there were certain balls that gave you a chance to, they had red striping on them.
Yep.
So if you get one swing left, you hit it out, you get another. You hit it out, you get another. And he was down, he kept hitting it. But then the person throwing him the batting practice actually twice threw him a regular white ball. And apparently people are like, well, you're not supposed to do that. And those white balls, you can see them better. So yeah, there's some controversy in the Home Run Derby.
Oh, well, enjoy that out there if you're into that.
Yeah.
I do like, as a fantasy player, I really have enjoyed Jordan Walker's ascent this year, though. Like, that was a very, very high prospect who couldn't hit for 3 years, maybe, and then St. Louis hung in there. They don't have a great team, and he has really been a great story this year. So I was happy to hear that he won, but I couldn't watch it. I didn't get past Contreras. Contreras was hitting home run after home run. I'm like, why am I watching this? Why?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could really build a good argument, but I just don't really like it. Okay, I'd rather watch this soccer game. All right. Thank you for your time, Sal. We'll talk again, I guess, on Thursday, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Okay. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Your place, the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I'm Mike Shope. Cody Tapp, Kansas City, coming up at 4. More on the AFC. Get into some Sabres as well. This is WGR.